This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/beherenow.
After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nickturn and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nickturn and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishnadas shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishnadas' podcast, please go to beherenownetwork.com/KD.
What do you do? What's your regular day look like when you talk about practices? When you're at home and you're not touring and you're working on a regular day, like let's say on a Monday, what does Krishnadas do on a Monday as his day, and what does the practice look like?
Are you from the National Enquirer or something?
Yes. Inquiring minds want to know.
My ass. Well, the first thing I do, the most important thing I do, and I suggest you all try this as well, wake up. You know, literally, wake up. That's the first step. Then roll over. Go back to sleep for a while, because I'm not working. You might be. Well, I try to do some practice every day. And whether it's chanting or mantra or sitting or some asana or some breathing, who knows what it is. Because it's good to do something every day. And you know, that's it, basically. I just like, you know, mope around the house, watch some TV, and try to do it again the next day. There's nothing special, you know. I never thought I would say this, so, you know, this is kind of a confession, but I like discipline. I mean, spiritual discipline. You know what I mean? I know this is Miami, so I have to be careful. I like to wake up the same place every day, same time, do some stuff, go through the day. I like when I'm in India and I'm in the temple, you know. It's the same every day. I really like that. I start to slow down. But, you know, that's not what my life's about right now. So I have to accept that I'm always moving. And I just try to remember as much as I can. There's no particular formula. But something every day is good. You know, like if I have to get up and get out, then I get up and get out. And I don't do anything. And I always say, okay, I'll do it in the afternoon when I get back. But I know I'm bullshitting myself. Yeah, just do the best I can. So, you know, when I started singing with people, it was very, very, very specifically that I understood that chanting was the only, chanting with people. It wasn't, I didn't make this up. This was downloaded into the hardware, the software in the brain here. If I didn't sing with people, I would never be able to clean out the dark shadows in my own heart. This was the only way that I had. I didn't like that. I was very happy being unhappy. And it was very hard for me to, you know, come out of the kirtan closet, so to speak, and start singing with people. But it was very much with people. And it's really what saved my life. This is the main practice that I do. I do a lot of other things, but this is the main practice I do. And I'm doing it for me to save my ass. But I recognize that as time has gone on, my ass has gone wider and wider to include a lot of other people. So it's good for everybody. It's good for me anyway. That's the main thing. And I actually like doing this. Can you imagine liking what you actually have to do? That's big time. That's a blessing. So I appreciate that very much, you know. And I appreciate that anybody comes to sing with me, because if you didn't come, well, if you didn't come today, I'd be watching the goddamn playoffs. Thanks. I remember once in L.A., we were doing a workshop, and it was like 45 minutes before, and only three people had showed up, you know. So I said to the organizer, say, you know, if more than eight people don't come, I'll take everybody out to lunch. But so they showed up. So you just try to do the best you can. Find something that you can do a little bit of every day, you know? Because eventually, everything that enters into your awareness through the course of the day, you try to find a way to meet that in a good way. Whether it's walking through the supermarket, you know, or whether it's driving your car or talking to people. Because you've committed a lot of because you really want to live in the heart, and you really want to be able to feel that kind of love that doesn't come and go, your energy starts to move within, so to speak. And what happens is, when something comes at us or into our field, we tend to just react automatically. But the more practice we do, that moment of reaction, that instant of reaction, actually spreads out. It gets slow motion. And you get a little vote as to how you meet somebody or meet a situation. Like, just on the way here today, I was driving up Biscayne Boulevard. And I thought we were going to turn at 24th Street. So somebody in the back seat said, no, it's 21st Street, when we were at 23rd. And I said, oh, thanks. Right? And that person is still alive today. So that's a big thing. So it changes the way you go through your day. You know, you don't, it's not all about me all the time in a very tight way. It's more about a me that is really seeking to live in the world, more in the present moment, more in that kind of loving presence that's always just underneath all our thoughts and all our emotions and all our stuff. So your whole life becomes your practice. Yeah, I just finished binge watching Fringe. All 6 seasons in one day. I couldn't uncross my eyes for 2 weeks after that. Yeah, somebody. Okay, Hal, over here.
My name's Alan. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you and welcome.
You said a couple things, liking what you do and so forth. So this is probably something you haven't heard before about your music. Mm-hmm. I work in an emergency room, and so I do CPR a lot. And what they teach us is when you're doing compressions, you do staying alive, staying alive. Ha, ha. I mean, please. So I always do rom, rom, rom. And then that lead, I need a cadence with that. So it's always rom, sita, rom, 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 sita, rom, sita, rom, sita, rom. So you're in places you're not aware of, possibly.
Well, I'm sure that's one of the better places I'm not aware of, thank you.
And about liking, you know, what you said is so important with practice. You know, we see so many things that are, I mean, when the rubber hits the road, and you know, not just when things are going well that we practice. And but what I'm grateful for is the years of, I call it putting enough deposit in the spiritual bank account so that when the shit hits the road, you can make a withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And make it through, mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know, not necessarily a question, but I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, one of the things that what I really kind of was trying to say when I said, I'm doing something I like, it's actually something I can give myself to 100%. For me, this is it. Doesn't mean it's better than anything else. It's just what it is. Many years ago, before I went to India, we were up at the Lama Foundation in New Mexico. It's a commune up on the mountain. And in the winter, we spent some time up there. And we heard about this guy, a New York artist named Herman, who was living down the mountain, who had been to India. And he knew how to meditate. So it was, wow, okay. So we went to see him, a bunch of us. And I was sitting in the back of the room, just kind of listening. So then came time to go, and everybody went out the door. I was the last one out the door, and he just grabbed me. And he looked at me and he said, you have to find out why you can't give yourself 100% to whatever you're doing. You ever see like a squirrel on the wall of a taxidermy shop? Like, I was nailed to the wall. He just got me so perfectly. I can remember that like it was yesterday. It was 50 years ago. 50 years? Holy shit. It was 50 years ago. So, okay, 49. And the thing is, then I began to notice that I was never fully engaged. There was always a part of me holding back or just afraid of letting go, you know? And I started to see that everywhere in my life, in everything. It was freaky. And I became very aware of it, which was a good thing. It was painful, but it was very good. And then when I got to India and I heard chanting for the first time, I knew this is something I could really do. I knew that I would be able to do this, right? I might be able to be able to do this 100%. It was one of the, I just got right into it. So for me, that's, you know, and it doesn't matter whether working in an emergency room, doing something else. If you can really be present right there with you as things are happening, as you're doing things, that's a very big thing. That's really very powerful position to take as you go through your day. Really be with whatever you're doing. Don't try to be somewhere else. Don't think, oh, if I can only get home and meditate. No, be there at that moment. And to even remember to do that is a big thing. we're all trying to get somewhere else. We're all trying to be somewhere else. We're always trying to be somebody else. We're all trying to get some other experience that we think is going to be better. Nope, it won't be. We're trying to be being here in the moment, now. It's always now. In 10 minutes, if we ask ourselves, "Where? What is this?" it'll be now, right? It won't be later. Later's later in from the now. So if we could just be with ourselves as we go through our day and not be trying, you know, and you can, there's all kinds of techniques for that. You can do mantras, you can keep a mantra going, and that will keep bringing you back. Not, it won't kick you away. At one stage, it might seem like it's taking you away from the moment. But as it deepens, that mantra is more like an anchor into the moment, and it holds you right here. And so you go through the whole day, and you're always here, always in that space of openness. So it's hard to talk about here, because if you talk about it, you're not in it, so to speak. But we're always here, even when we forget to remember we're still here. Like, you go to a movie, right? And it's a really good movie, which means that you're completely gone for the whole movie. And then at the end of the movie, you go, "Wow, that was great." But you haven't been present for 2 hours. You know, you've been out there. That's why they call it a good movie. It's like everybody in LA, you know, they don't give a shit about you. They just want to know how you think about them, you know. "Hi, how you doing?" What they're really saying is, "Hi, what do you think of me?" That's why it's called the entertainment business. So, yeah.
Thank you.
These mantras, you know, this space within us, this presence is always here. We're always here. The fact that we're not aware of it is the whole issue. So what we train ourselves when we do practices, or we chant, or we sit, or we do asana practice with some paying attention, we're training ourselves to be with what's happening in the moment and not be gone with the thoughts. So if we chanting, we start chanting, you know, I swear, within 30 seconds, everybody in the room's been gone already, and probably come back if you're paying attention. It's just, that's the way it works. You're still chanting. You're still making noise with your mouth and you're breathing, but you're thinking about tomorrow, or you're this something else, or you're thinking about the person next to you. And then you recognize that you're gone and you come back again and again and again and again and again and again. And again and again and again, till you take your last breath, and then you keep doing it anyway. That's practice. So you find something that is sticky enough that you can remember to do it. Maharaji didn't teach, you know, he didn't give lectures. He didn't write books. He just hit you in the heart with a banana when you weren't paying attention. You know, he kept bringing us back from Nunu land, you know. He kept bringing us back into that loving presence. And our stuff would take us out, he'd bring us back. Our stuff would take us out, he'd bring us back. Because he had no fear. He was completely here all the time, totally open, the whole universe. When I was going to kill myself, you know, I was going to jump in the river, which was only 6 inches deep. But I thought if I could get my head like underneath one of the rocks, it might work. He just looked at me and said, "What are you going to do, jump in the river?" He didn't seem at all bothered by that. He said, "Can't kill yourself." He said, worldly people don't die. What? Worldly people don't die. Yeah. Yeah, he said, little Hindu man with a blanket up in the Hanuman temple. He said, worldly people don't die. Only Jesus died the real death. What? Why? He never thought of himself. It was the chanting, actually, that released me from the little whirling tornado of thinking, which we live in all the time, all day long. Our minds are like tornadoes. They never stop. But the chanting and the blessings of Maharaj freed me from that so I could see that. And then it was okay if I forgot, because I remember. You forget, you remember. You forget, you remember. What else? No big deal. So that was a big day. But I still got into a lot of trouble. Doesn't make you a different person. No, never mind.
Could you talk a little bit about the place of surrender versus developing will, spiritual will? Goals in life moving through, or spiritual goals and surrender in the life?
Surrender is a big thing. You can't do surrender. Okay, I surrender. I don't think so. Ramana Maharshi said, asking the mind to kill the mind is like asking the policeman, the thief, to be the policeman. There'll be a lot of investigation, but no arrest will ever be made. So surrender isn't something that me does. Me purifies my heart. Me starts to think about other people. Me cares for people, serves people, does a little practice. And surrender happens when we're ripe. But unless you develop your ability to pay attention and do some practice and find ways to clean our hearts of selfishness and greed and shame and fear and all that shit, surrender is not going to happen. Surrender is grace. And grace is always here, but we don't see it, we don't look for it, we're not aware of it. Presence, love, our true nature is grace. And so some people say, purify and wait for grace. I don't like waiting around. I don't mind purifying, but I'm not going to be waiting around. I'm going to be watching TV and having coffee and having a good time. But still, you have to purify the heart of its self-centeredness, of the fact that everything we do revolves around me. And that's what has to, that we can apply our will to. So the thing in the jungle that happened was, I was sitting with this yogi who was 163 years old. He's older now. That was 25 years ago. More. And he just looked at me one day and he goes, ah. And I thought, what? He said, you have to develop willpower. And my thought was, willpower? What do I need that for? Now, if you don't think that's insane, you have as much of a problem as I had. He was sure, and then he saw that I didn't get what he said. So he did something inside of me and he showed me what he saw inside of me. And I saw it myself and I went, ah, and I realized I was putting chains around my own ankles. I wasn't living life. I was pretending. I was floating. I was not going after the things that I myself wanted for some reason, right? And I began to explore those reasons because he showed me very clearly what I was doing to myself. And I saw willpower is, You wanna eat something? I'm picking up my arm. I'm grabbing the food. I'm putting it in my mouth. That's will and desire for the food together. Without the will or the desire, nothing happens. You need them both. So the desire to be free, for instance, of suffering and unhappiness and find love in this life, you have to use your will. The two have to come together. And I wasn't doing that. And I was expecting, you know, everything to be showered on me. It wasn't going to happen. So that was a big thing for me. It was a shock. And it changed me in a very deep way to see that so clearly. Another thing he said to me was, he looked at me and he goes, this is like in the 80s. I was doing nothing, right? He looked at me and goes, you're going to be famous. So I looked up and I said, and rich. Take my shot, right? Why not, right? He just laughed and he came up to me really nose to nose, eye to eye, and he said, famous. I took my shot. It didn't work, but I took it. What are you going to do? He was funny. It was interesting to be with him. One day he looked at us and said, you remember Lincoln was shot? Oh, no, don't. You won't remember that. That's okay. We read about it in the papers. He was 163 at the time. What can I tell you? You don't believe me. It's okay. I met his guru brother who was 270 before he died. You don't believe me. It's okay. And that guy, everybody knew him. In fact, I came back from India. I met this, his name was Deora Habala, and he was very famous in northern India. He lived in the same town for 200 years. Everybody knew him. He was grandfather's 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 guru. Everybody knew him. There was no mystery. I came back and I went to the supermarket. I swear this is true. And I was waiting to buy my food, and I looked, I saw the National Enquirer. It had a little thing on top. World's oldest man lives in India. And a picture of Deora Habala. There at the A&P. There he was. But he had left the body shortly after that, after I saw him in 1989. You don't believe me, it's okay. And even if you say you believe me, you don't believe me.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.